Australia's greatest single day in Olympics history. That was the verdict of yesterday's Tokyo Games after a stunning day in the pool and on various tracks and waterfronts for Australia. Australia currently sits fourth on the medal tally at the Tokyo Olympics, 14 gold medals, 3 silver and 14 bronze, and is now just 2 wins shy of doubling its gold medal haul from Rio 5 years ago. So, will the rivers of gold continue to flow? Tracy Holmes is the ABC sports reporter on the ground in Tokyo. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Fran. I feel at this stage you probably know more about what's going on than I do because it's happening so thick and fast, and you feel like you're at one place but it's all happening somewhere else as well. It has been pretty incredible and a really great feel around not just the Australian team but many of the teams here.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, if you missed any of it, I didn't. We had a ripper start to these Olympics. And Emma McEwen she won gold yesterday in the 50 metres free, which is a sort of a glamour race, and the medley relay. We had Matt Wern sailing to gold in the laser event. Logan Martin won gold in the new freestyle BMX event. Let me get this out of the way, Tracy. Are there any more gold medals lurking, do you think, for Australia? We always start so well because the swimming meet is at the
exactly.
start.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, look, you know, last night at the track was absolutely sensational. Peter Boll in the 800 metres got through his semi-final and into the final. It's the first time we've had somebody in the final since Peter Norman back in 1968. And we know about him, don't we? He was the man standing on the dais there with the Black Power salute and that image that is still beamed around the world constantly. So Peter Boll set a new national record in his heat. He broke it again in the semi-final last night, and he really is on target for a medal, potentially gold. It was a sensational run, and he's such a powerful kind of figure. He's a very energetic presence. He was talking about the fact that some of his teammates were very professional and had hopped off social media while they're competing here at the Games, and he said, yeah, maybe I should do the same thing. And then I realised, no, I'm not them. I'm me, and I like my social media, and I like to be engaged, and I like to be putting fire out there, and hopefully he does the same thing in the final on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's not all about gold, of course. I mean, we had, as you say, Peter Boll has, done 2 personal bests already at these games. Rowan
exactly.
Browning, or the flying mullet, was knocked out of the semis of the men's 100, but the fact he made it to the semis is a big change for Australia too. And that there were some personal bests involved, I think, in his first heat too. So there's a lot of athletes performing beyond themselves, out of their skins at these games, aren't there?
And
every
games,
that's right. I guess.
Yeah, every games that happens, but I suppose that there's a couple of unique factors at play at this one, and I think this is what some of the athletes are tapping into. And so, of course, there's the empty venues, which aside from being empty, and you feel so terribly sorry for the Japanese people and the locals who are paying for this and putting on the greatest show on earth and not being able to access it. But the energy in the venues from the athletes is not any different to any other Olympic Games. But the athletes know that there's a bigger thing at play. They know the situation in Japan. They know the situation in their own countries. The Australians are all very conscious of what's happening with so many of the population in lockdown there. All of those things are helping drive them. And I think helping the ones that realise this is bigger than themselves are actually pulling out the best performances.
And a lot of gold medals for Australia in the pool, but a lot of world records in the pool too. And I'm wondering whether the lack of crowds is actually boosting their performances to some degree. They're not worried about their families. They're not distracted by anything. They're just sort of in the zone. Or maybe it's just that sense you said of something extra about these games occurring at this time.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of factors playing into that, but definitely that would be one. And depending on, you know, each person's individual psychology, some people get terribly nervous when you've got a full arena and maybe they're not cheering for you. Other people don't. They thrive on that. So, yeah, it very much depends on the personalities. And I guess we'll hear a lot of those individual stories afterwards because they leave so quickly. And that's been one of the difficulties in covering the games as well, is is that, you know, 24, 48 hours later, they're gone. And you've probably got more access to them once they get home and once they've had time to process what this experience has meant.
Well, they will have time because they've got 2 weeks in hotel quarantine, and I do feel for them, I've got to say, after this. But the Matildas had a nail-biting and fabulous 4-3 win over Great Britain on Friday night. Wasn't expected, I don't think. We now come up against Sweden tonight, who, of course, have licked us once. And Sam Kerr, the captain. Captain Kerr, there's a bit of doubt over her fitness. Can you give us any updates?
Look, there's not a lot of update on Sam Kerr. We have to wait and see. We also know that, you know, we can't put it beyond teams to play mental games and mind games with this sort of thing. We hope Sam Kerr is fine to play because she has been the absolute backbone of the team, as you would expect. It was an amazing quarterfinal, and Australia through to the semis now, but Mary Fowler also scoring in that game. And, you know, it's in the last minute of the game and we were 2-1 down, and Sam Kerr scores to level and put it into extra time. It was really very dramatic and quite unexpected. And we hope that the Matildas can go one better when they take on Sweden. And I'm sure there'll be lots of video watching ahead of that game because, as you say, they've beaten us once. We don't want it to happen again.
No, exactly right. Just staying with the teams for a moment, the Hockey Roos, I think you'd have to say remain favourite to claim gold. They've won 5 pool matches. They're meeting India in the quarterfinals tonight. How the Hockey Roos, how the Kookaburras, what's happening in the hockey front?
Oh, look, on the hockey front, it's been pretty good, and it's almost like with all the action that's been taking place on the pool and in other places, it's kind of been bubbling away quietly on the side, but they're not the only ones either. We've got the women's beach volleyball team that is making headway towards the medals, and that is also going to be something quite dramatic because we haven't seen a medal in beach volleyball since 2000. You know, those great scenes on Bondi Beach. It's the team is looking really good, and I don't know. I mean, obviously, you said at the beginning, the swimming team, if they do well, it sets up this kind of positive energy throughout the team. But it's also the fact that they've been so united inside the village because they can't mix with anybody else. And I think this, you know, success breeds success. And I think that is emanating right throughout the team. We were listening the other day, who was it? Someone was competing and the Matildas were watching and you know, they were jumping up and cheering on the bus. And everyone's tapped into what everybody else is doing in a way that is quite unique.
The Rugby Sevens, they're great fun to watch. They had a last-minute loss against the US, but they look to be really strong, you know, in compared to the other competition. The Opals, though, a disappointing start for them, and they lost a nail biter to China in the last 2 seconds of the game. And really, the Opals noticeably don't have some, you know, a lot of height compared to some of the other teams, do they?
Well, noticeably, they don't have Liz Cambage.
That's it, really, what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that has made the difference to that team, most definitely. You know, it's funny though, isn't it? You talk about height and then you look at the men's team and, you know, we've got some height. We're missing a couple of players too, but you've got somebody like Patrick Mills who's, again, kind of driving that team.
Have we lost Tracy? I think we may have lost Tracy's line there. I'm just waiting to see if we've got any hope of getting... Oh, you're there, Trace? We just lost you for a minute.
Hopes that the Opals could do it without Liz.
Oh, we seem to have a problem.
It'd be very, very difficult for the Opals without Liz, unfortunately. And that's just one of those situations where, you know, some players are key, just like Sam Kerr in the Matildas. You want them there because it's very, very difficult without them. The team is built around them.
Okay. Tracy, we're having a few problems with your line. Just try and get in before you go for people who are going to sit down and watch today and tomorrow. Peter Bowl, 800-metre athlete. Who else do you recommend we should be watching out for, may have a hope of medalling?
Oh, look, Fran, I'm not predicting medalists because you feel like you put the mocker on people.
Yeah, true. I'm with you, actually.
I've already gone too far with Peter Bowl.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
So I might just leave it at that.
All right. And, Tracy, what about we only talked about Australia, but there it's an Olympic Games, it's a global event. Are there any other sort of major issues emerging at these Games?
One major issue, I'll be very quick because news radio is calling me. That's why it's cutting out. A Belarusian athlete, just keep your ears and eyes open on her. She's been escorted to the airport because she criticised some of her officials but refused to leave, sought the help of Tokyo police. The IOC is now involved, and her name is Kristina Simonouskaya, and...
Okay.
There have been lots of problems with athletes heading into these games in Belarus, a lot of them detained, but she's the latest to be facing a major hiccup.
All right. Tracy, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Fran.
Tracy Holmes, ABC sports reporter on the ground in Tokyo, in high demand, as you could hear. Apologies for those technical glitches.